Hello and welcome to the Uncommon Podcast, a podcast about two creatives and their unusual journey. I'm Alejandro Mejías, and next to me, as always, is Oliver Muñoz. In this episode, we want to share the story of why we both decided to change our careers from freelancers or contractors and join forces to launch an agency. Oliver, how are you, mate?
Good, man. Buenos días.
Buenos días.
Licenciado Alejandro Mejías.
Wow.
How you going, man?
That's a really cool title. I like that.
Yeah, I know, right? It's good.
It's powerful.
Thanks for that intro. We've been practicing for a little bit.
Stuffed it up before, but got it right this time.
Yeah, listeners don't know this, but this is the second take. The first one, we were going to roll with it and just own it.
Nah, man.
We got to keep it professional.
Yeah, it's got to sound good. Like, it's the first part of the episode. Yeah. So it's got to start with the right foot.
Should have kept that clip and then we'll make a blooper.
A blooper. Yeah, that's
special
true.
Special edition.
Like we have to.
Like a Christmas edition with bloopers.
Actually, well, that's a bit of a preempt. We have a special edition coming up at the end of this season.
Yeah. So people, you better get your Duolingos out. Yes. Dust off your Inglés sin Barreras. Do you remember that one?
I do. Did you go to one of those schools? You so did.
Like, no, Inglés sin Barreras, which means English without borders or barriers. It was the VHS course. You know, you used to buy them off TV, as seen on TV.
Right, okay. Yeah.
And they were like, I'm going to say maybe 10 different VHS cassettes.
Oh, really?
You buy them on the TV?
You really like your...
On the TV.
You really like that kind of stuff. Was that your dad again?
Yeah. Actually, my dad used to own a video store.
Ah, that makes sense. Yeah. Because you used to have... Remember that story you were saying in your episode, like of how your dad got you all the CDs and you installed them in the computer and that's how you got your design career started?
No, this is different. Inglés sin Barreras, it was an ad on TV and then it's like, learn English. And then there will be footage of this very old school teacher just teaching you on TV
how to talk. Yeah.
Never bought that one. It was really expensive.
Is that how you learn English?
No, I learned English at school.
Okay.
And living in the border with California.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because you just get...
That explains a lot.
Yeah, you know ese. Because you get a lot of cross stations like TV, radio.
Yeah. That's South America and Central America, by the way. For those who may not know this, yes. We have a massive... American influence, like massive. North American influence.
Yeah.
We grow up with that.
And in Tijuana, you go to the States on the weekend for lunch and then you come back.
Cool.
Or you go shopping. Or a lot of people, Mexican Americans, they live in Mexico, they work in the States.
Yeah.
So they cross the border every day. It's hard to understand that in living in on an island like Australia. And it's like, what do you mean border?
Yeah.
It's not like you cross the border to... I mean, if you live in... Do you know Queanbeyan?
No. What's Queanbeyan that?
It's next to Canberra.
Ah.
So you know the ACT, the state of ACT,
yeah.
Which is...
Canberra is the capital of Australia.
Yeah, not Sydney.
For those who don't know.
Not Sydney.
Yeah, a lot of people think it's Sydney, but it isn't.
It isn't. I thought it was Sydney until...
Yes, yeah. I'm ashamed of this, but I thought about... I thought of that, yeah.
I mean, yeah. So yeah,
Let's leave it there.
And yeah, Queanbeyan is a little piece of land. Sorry, Canberra, you know, the ACT is the territory is a little piece of land inside the New South Wales state.
Yeah.
And then Queanbeyan is like a 25-minute drive from Canberra.
Right.
But it's already New South Wales.
Okay.
So imagine right now we are in Cremorne.
Yeah.
And then if we were to go down to St. Kilda, maybe a little bit further down. That's a different state. That's in New South Wales.
So
you cross the border every day.
Yeah.
So that's the closest I can think of
right,
as a concept.
Of your
Imagine
story.
Crossing the river here and that's like a completely different country.
Oh, got it. Okay. Yeah? Wow. No, that's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's like, you know, if it's a different state, yeah, it's like, it's not a big deal, but a different country it is, I guess. Anyway,
I have so many stories.
Yeah, let's bring it back. We can otherwise make an episode about something else. But today we're going to talk about how we met. Actually, I'll tell you what. This is a good intro of how we met, our story, because we both, you know, obviously have a lot of stories to say. And I think let's take it to that specific moment where we both started contracting a while ago, freelancing, contracting, I guess, And we were both doing our things. And then at some point in our careers, we both were hired by this agency in Melbourne, here in Melbourne where we're at. And we were both in the same building. We were both in the same office at the same time at some point. And
yeah. We were hired separately.
We were hired separately, exactly. Yeah, yeah. But
we didn't know each other.
No, we didn't know each other, but we were at that agency. I was there only for a couple of days, actually.
Yeah, your original contract was for a couple of days.
Only
right?
a couple. Yeah, it's like a 24-hour contract.
Yeah, mine was for seven weeks, I think it was, mine.
Yeah. Sorry, I said 24 hours, a 48-hour contract. That was my brief.
That was your brief.
Yeah. Literally.
But what was in your brief?
Nothing. I got a call from a recruiter.
Yeah.
And he said, I have this short gig at this agency. I'm not exactly sure what the job is for or what are you going to be doing.
What a surprise.
Yeah. And they need a UI person. And I was like, okay, sure, I'll take it. And it was going to be a short one. 48 hours, man, like that's very unusual. So I was like, I've got nothing to lose.
I remember you live around the corner from that.
And and it was like a 2-minute walk. So yeah. I was like, man, this is a no-brainer.
To have naps, remember?
Yeah.
You used to go for lunch and then...
That was after, because then I came back. We kept coming back to that agency after that.
But then I remember that night I was working on a project and then you were working on a different project.
Yeah.
Your 48-hour brief.
What was your brief?
One of the designers was on leave on holiday.
Okay.
And obviously the work's still there, so they needed a hand with things.
So
I wasn't assigned to one specific account or project.
Right.
It was more like, can you come around and help out?
Did they tell you that beforehand?
Yeah, they just said it was going to be mixed.
Right, okay.
But it was mainly working on creating EDMs.
And was that graphics. through a recruiter as well?
Yeah, it was the same recruiter as you.
Oh, really? The same person who hired? Oh, so he hired us separately.
I don't know if the same person.
The same company?
Same company.
I remember we spoke about this after that. Yeah.
And it was just like, you want to come here? Like, yeah, sure. I think I've been there for a week. Or maybe it's like 3 days, and then you came around. I remember it was you. There was another woman from Mexico as well. She was about to leave.
Really?
Yeah, you remember. We went for lunch with them.
Of course. Lunch, yeah.
And there was this other friend of ours as well, a Spanish guy. And then we were like, there was a Slack group, the four of us. Talking Spanish.
That was weird, man, because I was so new to this world, right? And they sit me in front of, you know, you guys, actually.
Yeah.
And actually, you were there. I'm pretty sure you were there.
Yeah, I was there.
Anyway, I remember the first thing that so I walked in, I go to my desk, and then everyone's like, hey, dude, what's up? Welcome. And I was like, whoa. Everyone's like really friendly here. I'm like, hey, how's it going?
Yeah.
You know, and like a bit shy. And they're like, hey, welcome. What's going on, man? Where are you from, man? And I was like, Venezuela. Oh, cool, man. That's awesome. You know, and I was like,
where's that?
That's usually what comes after
what server is that? Yeah. Is that in the north? Or?
What part of Melbourne is that, man?
It's not in the train line. Show me.
I'm like, it's a new server, guys.
Yeah,
it's not in the map.
It's so cool, you don't even know about
exactly.
It.
Yeah, and then you guys got me on this Slack channel, and then you know everyone's like, and you guys like, hey, let's go for lunch. It's like a Latino lunch.
I
was like, wow, okay, cool, I'm in. You know, like I just felt like.
Which we, know, did, we didn't have was Latin like, food, awesome. By the way.
No, we had Thai food.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, that was a classic in the agency. You always go next to the Thai restaurant. And so that day, we both, that's how we have officially met. That was the first time we actually spoke with each other.
But I remember that the brief that you were working on got really extended.
Yes.
And people were brought on board to help out as the day went by. It got late and more and late in the day. And then probably at 6, 7 p.m. at night, I remember they came around to ask us if we could stay back.
That's it.
And we were like, yeah, sure, we'll stay back. And And maybe,
they ask us both, like, because I mean, I was going to stay there anyway. That was my brief.
That was your brief.
Yeah.
But they asked me if I could stay back later.
Exactly.
The way I recall this is like, yeah, sure, I'll stay back. And there were a few other full-time members, staff members there still working.
Yeah.
But I remember, like, there was a point, like, we were working away, you and I were working away, and there was a point where we just looked up, and it was like 9 p.m.
That's it. Because they said, like, can you stay back? But yeah. they never specify how long. It was more like, can you stay back? And in my mind, I'm like, okay, sure. Like, I'm probably going to be here until, I don't know, 6, 7.
Yeah,
right.
Same.
At Moss.
And I think the what's his name? The creative director who we're working with, he came around and he was like, oh, yeah, we'll probably need you for a couple of hours, you know.
I think that's how he started
doing, like, 1 hour, 2 hours more. And then
that's it. Yeah.
All of a sudden,
it was an RFP for the record as well. Like the work that we were doing, and that's why we were staying so late, is because we had a crazy deadline, or the agency had a crazy deadline for this RFP,
this pitch,
which is a response for a brief.
What are you saying? RFP?
RFP, yeah.
Pitch.
A response for a pitch.
Yeah.
And so that was a job. Like, we were basically there helping out put together this document that was going to go out to the potential client, and it had all the details about what the agency could do.
Yeah, that's right.
Just as a, you know, just for people who don't know what that is and what we were doing.
Yeah, like it was a strategy section, and then there was the visual part of it, which that's where we were.
And so I was helping with a mock-up of a website and an app as well. So I was... and so, yeah, like, I was putting together this website, and the document had, like, basically, yeah, the strategy, and we were making, you know, you were helping with putting together the document.
I was putting together the document, and you were working on the UI.
I was doing the UI for a mock-up website. That blew my mind, man. I was like, I'm doing
like
all
this. Like,
it
was proper UI,
I'm doing all this work, and it was, like, proper UI and UX, like... We had people doing wireframes and, like, coming up with strategy everything. And it was only going to be as a teaser.
Yeah, it wasn't even the real thing.
Like, that blew my mind.
It was just in order to win the work.
The work, yeah.
Which was probably worth a few mil.
Absolutely, but still, I was like, man, they're pulling in so many resources to put this together.
Yeah.
This is next level.
And I remember how we started... You and I, we started working away. It was you left, myself, and then the creative director at one point, just the three of us working away.
Just the three of us, yeah.
Yeah, and it was...
Everyone's like dropping like flies, you know?
Yeah, but I remember we had dinner, like they paid for dinner at like around 8:30, 9 p.m. They were like, oh, you guys want to have some dinner? I was like, sure.
Yeah.
So we had dinner. And again, I think it was the Thai place from across the road. And then I remember how they... It got so late that I got Turkish again. Like, I was hungry again.
That's it, yeah.
Yeah, and then...
I mean, because, yeah, it was a decent dinner, but, like...
Yeah,
you know,
but
I'm talking
like, it was like 11 or midnight, something like that.
That's
by
it.
By the time I got hungry.
Because, yeah, we ate like 9, and then, like, we just went back to the computer and kept on working.
Yeah, and I remember... and this is how you and I... we always recall this story. And I was like, hey, man, I'm a bit... hungry. I'm just going to get a snack.
That's it. Yeah, like, so the agency had a kitchen, like, filled with, you know, a fridge with...
Stuff.
Stuff. Like, we had snacks, all kinds of snacks.
Yeah.
Biscuits, like...
Popcorn.
Popcorn, yeah. Exactly.
And I think the only thing left was...
We're sitting, by the way, just for record as well, like, we're sitting next to each other at this stage as well. Like, literally, it's like...
Yeah.
Picture this. Empty agency...
Empty. It was empty.
Complete empty agency and just a
this
big
like a,
agency.
It's like 100 people that, agency.
Yeah, so it's an open floor. Like, all computers are shut off, and it's just the two of us sitting next to each other. Yeah.
And the lights were off except for the ones on top of us.
Yeah, it was just like working away. I don't know. You can't hear the clicking, but it was like...
Yeah, that, like that.
You know,
mechanical keyboard. And I remember just saying, I mean, I'm just gonna have a snack. Would you like some popcorn? But the way I said that is like, do you want palomitas?
You said palomitas, yeah.
Yeah, I said, Ale, hay palomitas. ¿Quieres palomitas?
Palomitas, man. And I was like, what is palomitas? I was like, cotufas.
Cotufas.
It's cotufas.
I was like, what is cotufas? You're like, palomitas, you know, like. And then I think we translate it to popcorn. You know, it's popcorn.
That's it.
And we're like, what?
So you said, I want palomitas. And at that stage, by the way, I knew that they had popcorn in the kitchen. And it's the popcorn that's like salty and sweet.
Sweet and salt, yeah.
Sweet and salt. And I was like, man, like.
You never came back from that, man.
Oh, man, so good. That thing's amazing.
I think there were losses in the agency.
Just because of that. Yeah. Actually,
there were no profits for the
next
year.
They were popular. They were very popular. In fact, after that gig when we came back and I worked there for another 13 months,
yeah.
I remember they would stock up the kitchen every, you know, month or so.
Mm-hmm.
And they would stock up those popcorns again. And
they will last for a day.
They will last not even a day, man. Like hours.
Really?
Seriously.
They're good, man.
Soon as the kitchen was stocked up with that popcorn, everyone would just
My son is addicted to them. Like I have to hide it. If I want to have a snack, if I want to have popcorn at home, I need to hide them from there. But apart from AKQA, you know, there are a lot of agencies that VML, why not? Like all the WPPs, they all have popcorns, you know?
A lot of, yeah.
Oh, well, they all have snacks.
I mean, every big agency has snacks available for the staff.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. The thing is, like, I came from a small agency prior to that. So I've never worked in a big agency like that. So for me, it was like, man, free food. Wow. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, that was unheard of. And, yeah, but like it was funny, right? Because like it was such an experience, right? So like, you know, we're both at this agency. We bump into each other. Mm-hmm. We realize, man, like we're both, you know, from, you know, similar parts of the world. And we both speak Spanish. And yet we can't understand each other because you're saying palomitas, I say cotufas. It's so different. And that's when we realize popcorn is one of those words that in Spanish is said, it's basically a different word in
almost every other country in
Spanish speaking country.
Yeah.
It's said in so many different ways, got so many variations.
That's such an interesting.
It's such a
simple word, but it just keeps going.
That's it.
And then I remember working together PTV. Remember when we worked there as well?
Yeah, after that, we kind of went our ways, you know, and you know we kept
crossing paths and
yeah, like we kept like I guess like being sometimes you came back to AKQA and I was there,
mm-hmm.
We kept seeing each other, you know.
Yeah, we always said like, oh, we should probably do something together. Like we should.
Yeah, exactly.
We should work together. And I remember outside those agencies, we also had like small gigs, you know, in between jobs, we all had like small gigs. I remember the first time we worked together, it was over a Christmas period. And
was it?
Yeah. And I have a little project.
Oh yeah.
So I had a project with another agency and I said to them, look, man, I was pretty much the skeleton staff member for them.
Right.
As a freelancer. And I said, look, man, I'm going to have to get somebody else to help me out. Cause while you guys are on holiday and I have all this piece of work that I need to deliver for you, it'll be good for me to start bouncing some ideas off somebody else. And they were like, yeah, cool. They didn't know it was you. They just thought, right, yeah, it'll be somebody. You ended up working with them.
I did, actually.
Later, yeah.
I'm trying to remember now. Was that 2020?
No, 2019.
Was that 2019?
I think so.
I can't remember exactly when it was, but
maybe it was 2020.
I feel like it was...
it's 21 right now. Yeah, maybe it was 2020.
2020.
Yeah.
Early 2020.
It was early 2020. No, it was late 2020. Oh, I can't remember. It was over the Christmas period. Maybe it was 2019.
It was 2019?
Late in 2019.
Right. So, yeah, that makes sense. Because, yeah, I remember it was like then early Jan, we kept in touch and, like, you know, we were doing the projects.
And, and I think the first time we said, let's do this together, just as, I remember it was as freelancers, like contractors coming in as a creative, like as a digital team. That's what I used to call ourselves back then.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Because
you being the UXer, I was a UI, and I remember, we were trying to put together this little brief. This little pitch.
Yeah.
And they wanted one resource, and we went back to them and say, "Hey, you can have the two of us. we'll give you a discount, and this is what we propose.
Yeah, I mean, like, because just for a bit of context as well, like, what happened there was, like, an opportunity came up, and then we said, why don't we, like, we had already worked on some projects together.
Yeah.
And then we were like, why don't we just basically start selling ourselves as a duo, right? Like, you know, you as a visual designer and myself as a experience designer. And so, yeah, like, we thought, why don't we just join forces? And I think then that's sort of what led us to go, maybe we can not only work together, as in, you know, in the sense of like selling the work together, but why don't we actually find a space where we can, you know, work from?
And I remember it was over the Christmas period, that Christmas period, you were in Melbourne and I was in regional Victoria. And that kind of led us to set the systems, like online systems as well.
Yeah.
Like, so we could always be moving around and
that's it.
Be across the same, you know, be on the same page. But yeah, I remember that then you saying, hey, why don't we... Oh, no, I started looking at office space.
No, that was your idea, yeah. I was like... Because you told me, I'm like, why don't we find a space together? And I was like, yeah, I don't know. I have a good setup at home.
Yeah.
It was just like, you know...
And I've been in this apartment and I just needed to get out. Because this is the middle of the pandemic, right?
Exactly, yeah.
It's the start of 2020.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, man, I need to get out and you need to come with me.
That's it. Yeah.
Yeah. And then we say, okay, let's start looking at co-working spaces. And I think that was a catalyst for us to say, let's properly work together. You know, once we once we started touching base and having this space that where we this co-working space, we said, you know what, why don't we do this properly? I think that was a tipping point where we said, let's give it a go.
Yeah. And then we found a very cool space in Cremorne here in Melbourne, which is Cremorne. It's like the, for those who don't know, so they call it here like the Silicon Valley, quote unquote, the Silicon Valley of Melbourne, because that's where like a lot of tech companies, startups,
agencies,
they all have offices here, and it's like an industrial renovated, very cool, you know,
even the Tesla
area.
Warehouse is just
there's
down
a
the
Tesla,
road.
Yeah, exactly. It's a Tesla dealer. There's a bunch of cool offices around here, and we found this co-working space here that basically they gave us a tour and we were like, we're hooked. Let's do it. This is the place.
Yeah. I thought that was really cool. But I remember also how there was a point when you and I were talking about how busy everything was getting, you know, like there was a lot of work. Not enough resources. Talking to recruiters, colleagues, friends, you know, everyone will be like, oh man, we just can't find the right talent. Like there's so much work, we're almost willing to
There's
hire.
A huge demand.
A huge demand.
I mean, there still is, to be honest.
There still is, yeah, that wave. Because I remember the pandemic hit, everything was dead for like a month or two, at least in the industry, in the digital space.
Yeah. Yeah, it was quieted down a little bit.
And then back in May, June, I think May, like everyone realized that this is going to be there for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And companies are just like, you know what, let's just keep going. Let's keep trying.
I think that happened. And then also a lot of businesses realized because they, you know, a lot of brick and mortar businesses, for example, were like,
yes.
Okay, I put this digital thing aside for too long.
Mm-hmm.
It's now or never. I have to be online. And that, I think... It was just like
skyrocketed, yeah.
Man, like, yeah, it's off the charts now. Everyone wants a website. Everyone wants an app. Like, everyone, if they had a website, they need to renovate it. It was just like, boom.
Yeah, and I think you and I got really busy independently, and we thought, well, we only have one brain and two hands each. Like, there's only so much we can do. Like, we can take all these gigs, you know, and then we could, if we wanted to, we could take two or three at a time if we wanted to as well.
Mm.
But it's just like, how can we provide our services without just limiting ourselves? So that's contracting, would you say?
Yeah, well, because the thing is like, so yeah, it's a good point. We kept on kind of contracting separately. So, and we didn't finish that story about the pitch that we put together, that opportunity that came up.
Oh yeah, what happened to the pitch?
We didn't get it.
We didn't get it.
They were like, no, this is again like the original brief of that company was like, I need a contractor. I need a single person, a UX designer or experience designer, really. Like they want more of a UI UX person to come in. And so we were both like, okay, why don't you hire us both? And we gave them a really good price for the two brains. But in their mind, they were like super close-minded. They're like, no, 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 I need a single person. Sorry, I can't pay you both. And we're like, don't, you know what? Forget it.
But they put in the too hard basket.
Yeah. And, but the thing is like, that's the thing. Like, you know, so we were like, okay, sure. Let's just, you know, keep doing our bits. And we both kept busy doing independent things, but always like kind of helping each other out.
Gravitating towards each other. Yeah.
Exactly. And, you know, if you had a project that you couldn't take, you would give it to me and then vice versa.
Yeah.
But then the thing is like contracting has a cap because there comes a point where it's just you and you can't scale.
That's it.
I mean, you can take a lot of projects, but you can't scale. And there's so many hours in the week, you know. And I mean, you want to have a life as well.
Yeah. I remember it was good to get a gig or two because you were locked down in Melbourne. Like, you didn't really have anywhere else to go.
So that's
it. You may as well work more.
Just do more hours.
Do more hours because you were there anyway.
And hustle. Which we love that anyway. So
yeah,
that wasn't a problem.
But I think the reason also why we joined forces, apart from me having the looks and you the brains.
I don't know about that, man. Yeah. I don't know. let's say yes.
Let's say yes.
Just to make you feel all right about that.
Thanks, man. I think I wanted the freedom to choose the projects that I wanted to work on, you know? And I also wanted us to come up with a creative process that we believed in. So we didn't have to always follow somebody else's process, you know, because if we come up with something that we truly believe in and then we get clients or partners on board, then by them trusting us, we could assure them that something good was going to happen at the end of it.
And it's our process. Yeah, because I think like that's the other flip side of contract. Contracting is great, by the way. Like, honestly, I loved being a contractor, and everyone who knows me, I always preach about that, but it's one of those things like you go somewhere and basically you adapt yourself to the company that you work for.
Yeah, you have to be super flexible.
You need to be, right? It's literally the how do you put it? Like you can't get more flexible than that. That's weird. That sounds weird, but you know what I mean. Like, it's like every place
open-minded,
you go,
it's just different. You have to fit in into every single mold that you put into.
It's like that famous say, be like water, my friend. Literally, it's like you know, like,
I thought you were gonna say the saying in Spanish.
Have you not heard that? Be like water, my friend.
No.
Oh man, it's from Bruce Lee, and basically it's like,
who?
Bruce Lee.
Who's that?
Are you serious?
No, I'm not serious.
Bruce Lee. And so it's like, be like water, my friend. Like, you know, if water fills a cup, it becomes a cup.
Gotcha.
You know what I mean? It's like it's like that. You, as a contractor, need to change your systems, need to adapt to different tools, whether it's project management tools or even like, you know, design tools. Mm-hmm. You have to adapt to different people, different teams. Everything. Every time you go to a new gig, it's something different.
Because we will have, as independent contractors, we will have our own separate systems, you know, like from accounting to creative to software. And like, for example, you might be using Google Tabs or like bookmarks, right?
Yeah.
And then you and I use a lot Notion.
Yeah.
Well, to keep it as a source of truth.
Yeah.
So I remember as I kept progressing, I noticed these different patterns from gig to gig, and everyone has their own timesheets and everyone has their own logging accounts.
Everything's different.
Yeah. So you need to keep track of all that.
Even the way that they pay you, some people prefer to invoice, like, you know, they invoice the way you invoice different clients is different. Mm-hmm. And so
to your point, you have to be
like water.
Like water.
Yes. And so, but I guess. And so, it's like, you know, obviously it's cool. I think that is amazing, by the way. And there's, you know, the great thing about contracting is that it gives you the ability to to pivot a lot, you know, become comfortable with change and, you know, and just adapt, like, you know, be okay with things changing all the time. That teaches you a lot.
But you and I working to, oh, sorry, man, go.
No.
I was going to say, like, you and I working together, we always challenge each other.
That and, as well,
and
absolutely.
We
yeah.
were always questioning, like, hey, man, what's up with that? Well, not like that, but.
What's that ugly font that you use there?
Yeah, right? What's with your ugly looking font?
No, but.
Where'd you get that?
But obviously, because it's like, you know, you both, again, we both contractors, we both understood the hustle of contracting we share that a lot.
It's
that
a
was
grind.
Really cool, you know?
Yeah.
And so, you know, we had a lot to talk about. We always help each other out, whether it was about, you know, the rates we were charging or whether
it
was.
That's one thing, man, because I never felt comfortable talking to other designers about rates.
Except
talking to you.
Exactly.
You know? And,
yeah.
and sometimes.
Same.
And all the time you will make more than me, I will make more than you, we'll make the same, but we will take that as a basis and say, okay, for the next, like, we almost coach each other out and say,
pretty much,
for the next one, maybe crank it up $25 an hour,
or just do this differently, or absolutely.
Leave the door open for negotiation down the track, you know, like all these tips, we will always share these tips.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm drunk, man.
I can hear it.
We bought a cheap tequila last night for mixing margaritas.
Yes.
We actually haven't had any of it.
Are you saving it for when we are free of this lockdown?
Well, we might see you later this afternoon. Do you remember?
We are for
a picnic walk or something.
We're going for a walk.
I don't know if this weather is gonna let us out.
Yeah, it's pretty rainy today, but we'll see.
We'll see.
But man, you know, to your point, that's very true. I never felt really comfortable either, like saying, not just about rates, but just talking about contracting in general and like getting somebody to bounce ideas off with, because bouncing ideas with, I guess. Because it's like, if you don't know what that hustle is, How are you going to be able to, you know, really explain it? Like, it's, you know what I mean?
I don't think we had to sell each other the idea about
How good that was.
Or working together, or you're like, it just makes sense. We've been there, we've done that.
Oh, well, yeah, that also. I think that came organically, because we had already been talking about business. It was like, you know, I always see contracting as like, you know, you are your own business. And so it was
100%,
you know, we were both having our separate entities, and we always like share business ideas almost, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I think that part, we were like, you know what? I think we can find, we found our group. We can work together.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I think, but I mean, have we answered the question why another agency? Like, you know, there's so many out there.
I don't know.
So think about it. Like, I'm going to play devil's advocate, right?
Go for it.
For the next couple of minutes. We still get to choose who we want to work for or with as contractors, right? And you pretty much can dictate how much you want to charge. I mean, within reason.
Yes.
So that sounds pretty good to me. If you choose the right, if you are and this is another trick as a contractor. Like, if you are contracting around Christmas time, you may be able to go to a lot of Christmas parties. You know? Like, if you start at the end of November and then towards, you know, mid-December, you could probably go to 3 or 4 different Christmas parties.
Yeah, they'll definitely invite you, for sure.
Yeah. Or if, though some agencies, they just don't like contractors and they don't invite, you know who I'm talking
or,
about,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that happens. Or, like, it happened to us as well, like, the recruitment agency that got us the contracting gigs, the freelancing gigs, had their own party freelancers and
for
contractors.
Freelancers. So that's
because there's a bit of like contractors and freelancers. It's like they are like a different crew.
They're
like
the orphans.
Yeah,
that's what we call it.
Yeah,
the orphans.
Yeah. They're like pawns, you know. Like there are scattered around, and then we get sent to different places. And so because we don't belong in one single place, they offered But they threw a party to us. And it was really cool because I met a bunch of other contractors and freelancers that day.
Yeah.
Illustrators, you know, like graphic designers.
And all this is good and well, but why did we say, why did we leave all that stuff and said, you know what, let's just do our own thing?
That's an excellent question. Well, I think first of all, it's to your point as well. It's like...
But more than why, it's like, why another agency? Sorry.
We spoke about this when we started like putting together ideas about, you know, working together. And I think we distilled it to the fact that, first of all, we both bring in a complete different perspective. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is that, you know, you can hear in the episodes prior to this one, but, you know, we both come from two separate places, like two different backgrounds.
Yeah.
We're both, you know, overseas, and like, you know, our stories then kind of make us who we are. Like, you know, our past makes us who we are. And we come from countries where, you know, our culture is like very, very strong.
Mm-hmm.
We also come from countries where you have to hustle. Nothing's given to you
sink
easily.
Or swim.
You know, it's like you have to fight for, you know, if you want to get something, for what you want.
Yeah.
And so I think like for us, like that way taught us a lot. Like that way of growing up and living taught us a lot. And then, you know, coming to this country, working for a lot of the projects that we worked as contractors, we always had this feeling that, you know, we brought in like a complete different perspective to the project, like always.
Yeah, because we come with that.
It's in our,
with that mindset of being from outside. So you're not used to the same thinking, and it's just like cross-cultural, right?
I think. Absolutely.
And we encourage the people that we work with to think about that as well, like to challenge that. And
it's like, I don't know you, man, but like every, you know, I've worked with a lot of people that always think about one scenario, and like this happens a lot.
Yeah.
You know, you're designing something and they think about one scenario and that's it.
And that's it. Yeah.
And then I'm like, I don't know if it's because I always like to play devil's advocate or whether it's just like, I just think differently, I guess.
Well, yeah.
But I'm like, I'm always thinking about all the edge cases. Like, what if this doesn't work? What if, you know, the system fails? Or what if somebody is thinking this or that? You know, I'm always trying to bring that perspective. Mm. Maybe that's just the person that I am. Like, that's my DNA. I always had to think about the alternatives because that's the environment that I grew up in. Like,
yeah.
You know, there's never one scenario.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you. And I think that, well, first of all, that's a way of thinking. I would say that. But also you have developed that throughout your career. You know, I always question like, oh, what is this? What is that? But I actually never done it so much until I started working in the industry.
Yeah.
You know, and I started learning from people like yourself and other colleagues are like, oh, you got to think about this, you got to think about that.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, you know, that's true. Because maybe I used to be the type of person that would only think about one scenario or would think that whatever I did was it, that was the right answer.
Mm.
Doesn't mean I didn't took feedback on board, but I was very set on something. And now I'm more flexible. I was like, okay, now you got to think about other people.
That's it, yeah.
You think about all the uses. But that doesn't come without the research that you, Ali, do. So,
But I think like what you bring in, actually, even if, you know, and I think that's why we come together as a powerful duo, is because I bring in that kind of, and you know what, like, I'm
like
not,
I say, you bring the brains.
I bring the brains, man. It's like, thank you. It's like the lateral thinking. And I'm not going to say that I'm perfect at it. Like I'm still learning a lot every single day. I try to, you know, challenge everything that I do, actually, like how, you know, people who are completely different to me will see the work that I do, mm-hmm. and how will they take it, especially, you know, if it's something digital, a digital product that people are going to use, you know, how is this going to serve different audiences?
Yeah.
And so, but then you bring in a complete different perspective, which I actually love. And that is from a visual standpoint. Like a lot of the times I'm so focused on how something is going to work for people and how, yeah. you know, how it's going to have an impact on them that I can't get to that pixel perfect detail. And that's when you come in and bring in that perspective.
I think that, and that's part of the process that we define.
I think so.
I feel like we should leave that for the next episode.
That's probably,
there's a lot of ground to cover there.
There's a lot, but that's actually a good segue to the next episode. Like we, you know, at this stage, we've, you know, contracted for X amount of years. How many years did you contract for?
I think I'm going to, I'm going to say almost 10, but there was like a gap of 2 years there.
Right.
Maybe three. Yeah. So I don't know, man, five years.
5 years.
Five years plus a gap plus another year or so there.
Okay. Yeah. So I probably four and a half, something mm-hmm. like that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we then come together and now we are basically in the process of setting up an agency. And that's what we are going to talk about in the next episode. That's exactly, like, in fact, we're going to be talking about a lot of stuff, but our purpose as an agency is the core of what we're going to be discussing. How do we define our ethos, our process as well? There's going to be quite a lot.
Yeah, man. And I didn't quite time that properly, the outro.
You didn't.
Hang on.
Gonna have to do it again.
Should we? I just wanted to say before we go that there's one thing that we talked about today, and that was we touched on timesheets, and you know how much I hate timesheets.
Oh, true. We should definitely talk about that. Well, I'll tell you what. Why don't we include that as the next something we talked about in the next episode?
Yeah, so we got rid of timesheets, but the reason why we did it is because we want to deliver value over cost.
That's it.
That's something that I learned at one of the places that I worked at, and I think it just works really nicely.
Let's do it. Let's talk about that. Why did we get rid of timesheets?
That's it.
Powerful.
Should I play the outro now?
Do it. See you guys in the next episode.
Yeah, man. Nice to have you.